Hello and welcome into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. Every week we're here. I'm Clara Apollo, your host this week, and my special guest, Sika, the sound journey artist from New Zealand, is with me. Now, Mother Speaks is an unapologetic deep dive and occasionally stumbling journey into the mother energy, from mothering children and businesses to the expressive wisdom of the great Mother Earth herself. This is a show where mothers and occasionally fathers meet to speak about things that matter on topics across the board, from birthing babies, books and new projects, to parenting children, animals, and of course oneself, plus all the conundrums of identifying as being a woman in this day and age. We are a community called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, which you can find out more about on our website, wakeupmother.com, and our Substack platform, wakeupmother.substack.com. And here on the radio show and podcast, and possibly even the YouTube channel, yes, we share the conversational mic between our collective circle of four creatrix mamas at various stages of parenthood and project development. And last week, you heard from Sarah Lloyd and myself with our very special guest, Janie Lee Grace, was with us on the power of healing the mother wound using family constellation therapy. And this week, I feel like I should sort of be blowing a trumpet because we have our first man on the show. Sika is here. Welcome into Mother Speaks, Sika.
Thank you, Clara. It's very lovely to be here, and I feel honoured to be the first man. May there be many others as well.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, so Sika, that's spelled S-I-K-A. He is a pioneering sound and multimedia artist based in New Zealand, and his life has been dedicated to creating music and paintings that enhance our spiritual and human relationship with nature. He's originally from Sussex, UK, and has toured internationally since 1993, offering sound journeys and concerts, with his work reflecting a lifetime of listening to the rhythms of nature. You can see why I invited him onto the show, can't you? But he's really well known for his exceptional way of playing the didgeridoo, and it forms an important foundation for his music. And I feel it's an express, a true expression of the Great Mother kind of sounding through you. But he also uses drums and native flutes and his voice and a broad selection of both traditional and historical Maori instruments. He also uses other sources like water, fire, trees, animals, birds, and wind, used with the ultimate intention to build soundscapes that enable us to leave the regular time construct and enter our liminal space of being. Sika has recorded 10 solo albums which tell the story of a man who has followed his yearning to create a life grown from the roots of the past, but sowing the seeds of the future. So I feel like I'm in this liminal space now, because sharing this space with you now, Sika, I mean, we first met, wasn't it, at a Conscious Living Events gig in Bournemouth, UK. That was probably back in 2015. And I invited you into my radio show for Soul Traveller Radio, it was then, and Chi Time TV, which you can still see those interviews on the YouTube channel Chi Time TV. But then when I took over Conscious Living Events, we teamed up again, didn't we? And I found some extraordinary venues to share with you, which was just such fun.
Oh, it was amazing. Those venues are dear to me. They really are.
So we're talking about being deep in Mother Earth here, aren't we? We're in the Earth House in Cranbourne. This is like a big amphitheatre in the belly of the Earth. It's like a hill with a door, isn't it? It's like... Do you remember what it was like when you first set foot in that place?
Oh, I just felt so much energy. I was buzzing. It was like walking into a dream that I've held for decades of making these sound ceremonies inside the earth with a fire. It just felt like a returning to an ancient memory, really.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've been able to go back again is, yeah, I'm very, very excited about being in this space, actually. I just think it's the most perfect space for what I deliver.
So that being held by the mother, because it's all the way round, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a round space that from the outside it looks like a big mound covered in grass with sheep grazing on it even. And it has these three huge oak doors that you go in, and then it steps down four layers to a big round area. I mean, we're talking a big enough space that seats 200 people,
I know.
which is huge. And then the roof is held up. This big mound from the outside is held up by 21 big oak tree trunks that form this circle inside. Yeah, it's like being inside a living, breathing monolith or something. It's incredible.
It is. Oh,
Oak goes
gosh.
out through the roof at the top, and so the light comes in through the roof as well. So you get this amazing quality of light in there. It's magical, isn't it? It's
It's
magical.
totally magical. And, Seeker's just come over from New Zealand to, he's, you're here for 3 months. So we're recording this the day after the Aries new moon equinox. So we're still very much in that fiery portal. But you're going to be doing some events around, probably around the south of the UK. And one of those places is going to be the Earth House. Oh, and then the other one is the Tree House. But let's not wax too lyrical about our amazing venues here, because I invited you into Mother Speaks because I feel you're a man that is so deeply in touch with Mother Earth and the divine feminine, and I'm really intrigued to find out your perspective on mothering in this day and age, what you're thinking. And I know you've also become a father recently too.
Yeah, I can speak a lot about this. I'm very in touch with this at the moment. It's alive, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So,
Seven-month-old son, and I'm actively involved in bringing this little being into the world with his mother, my wife, and love to talk about that. Love to. What do you want to
well,
know?
it's the first question that we ask all our guests is, what does mother mean to you?
Nurturing is the first word that comes to my mind. I am seeing a deep nurturing that comes from the breast. It's providing the food and the nourishment on every level, really, that this little birthed being needs to feel safe, to grow, and to return to rest and to sleep and to then emerge back out and explore, but always coming back to the safety and the sanctuary of the womb, the mother that is there, regardless of everything, that come what may, this is where you can come back to and everything will be all right. And from that, my mind goes out further to the earth and the Mother Earth, and how she provides all those things for us. She provides a place to be where we can breathe clean and fresh air, and we can eat, and we can sleep and be nurtured and feel like we're safe on the earth. Those things for me are embody what I think of as when I think of Mother.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It felt like poetry when you were saying those words.
It
So I
feels like that. It feels like the safest place. You know, I remember as a child, a young child, there were times, enough times that I can remember it, that things weren't going right, and it felt like, this is not feeling good. I don't feel good about this. And I would always have this sense of like, it's okay, I can go back to mum, and everything will be all right again.
So that was your mother, going back to your mother. But you also had a period in your early upbringing where you lived in a yurt, didn't you? You kind of actually living on the surface of the Great Mother. So did that shift happen from when you were going back to your mum to actually recognizing that nurturing within Mother Earth?
I lived in a teepee,
I'm sorry.
actually. And without sounding pedantic, there was quite a difference because my experience of living in the teepee, how I chose to do it was to take away all plastic. So I didn't have a membrane between me and the earth. I didn't have anything that was keeping out the elements, and that was very deliberate. So my experience of 10 years of living like that was not only the heights and the joy of living that close to nature, but also the hardship of it and the darker side of it, if you like, the fact that I'm not trying to keep damp out. I'm finding ways to be in harmony with the elements. And that was a profound metaphor for life, really, that I continue to bring in day to day now. You know, it's like perhaps when we suggest that we reconnect with nature, and live in harmony with nature, we have this kind of romantic sense of it. But sometimes the mother is ruthless and, you know, lays down a very firm hand, and it's hard to take that. And that could take the form of a storm that absolutely pounds you, and by the end of it, you're exhausted and you feel like you've really been drained. And then you have to rekindle the energy again. You have to rebuild yourself up. But it's like, it's all part of nature. It's all part of the mother, really. You know, the mother will be ruthless to look after her child.
Oh, that never a word spoken so true. So, feeling that sense of returning to nature, to the nurture, there's also that trust that her fierce love has our best interests at heart, no matter what she offers us. I mean, I know you were at New Zealand recently, and the was it a cyclone that was got that sort of
Yeah,
devastated lands,
North
and
Island got hit by a cyclone. Yeah,
yeah.
there was a lot of devastation. There were lives lost, and there were many homes destroyed. And then a week after that, I toured right through the North Island, and either passing through or near places that had been communities that were destroyed by this devastating weather pattern. Very humbling, you know, absolutely brings up that sense of scale, you know, like feeling so insignificant on the surface of the earth sometimes, and actually remembering that although I personally feel very safe with my feet on the ground, sometimes the ground is actually moving and isn't safe. It's quite a well, it's destabilizing, and then I found that I needed to go deeper in order to find stabilization within myself, you know, to feel safe, even though, you know, not so dependent on it. And I suppose in a way that is another metaphor of growing up. You know, we start out completely dependent with on our mother, and gradually we learn to have a bigger play area, and we move away from our mother. And we have to kind of internalize that to some degree. You know, hopefully our mothers are always there in some shape or form, but eventually they're not, and they do die. And we need to feel that nurturing from within.
Exactly, how we mother ourselves and how we can find the home within us, you know, that this feels like, okay, the origin of our birthings come through our mothers and the support of the great mother, but that shift into self-mothering, self-care, is a really important one too, isn't it? And I know that the sound journeys that you do really help to connect us to that aspect of it's okay, it's safe to be in the body, and it's safe to be here. And I know a lot of us don't feel that all the time. So I'd actually like to go to a track now. So Seeker's first track that he's chosen for us. And then we're going to continue this theme after that and our station messages. So could you introduce this one and tell us why you
Yeah,
have?
so I've chosen track one off an album which is called Shapes in the Silence, and this track is called Origin. And for me, it's a journey of sound to the very origin of life on Earth, really. Perhaps as far back as beyond humans, when we really are seeing the formation of the geography and the geology of this planet that we call Mother Earth, you know, that is our home. But it could be a journey to the origins of our ancestors, or as far back as you're able to go or want to go, really.
Yeah, so see where this takes you to. And I would highly recommend putting some headphones or earbuds in to get the full sonic experience. But we will continue this conversation with Sika here on Mother Speaks after this stunning journey called Origin.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So you're back with me here on Mother Speaks, Clara Apollo. I'm here with Sika, the sound journey artist. And before the break, you heard that sublime track and all those beautiful rhythms in there. Origin from Sika's album Shapes in the Silence, which you can find on his Bandcamp page. So that's sika.bandcamp.com, where you can find all his music, actually. And we're diving into the masculine perspective on mothering here, which, you know, we've already traveled through the nurture to the fierce. Like, whoa, where are we going here? But I'd also love to just bring up, you know, as you introduced us to the fact that you are the father of a 7-month old, but you also have a couple of older children too. So Seeker's not a spring chicken. I'm just wondering how it feels being a dad again at the age you are.
It feels amazing. I'm incredibly grateful. My little boy, Oaken, is 7 months old, just over 7 months old. And I consider it to be an amazing blessing to be fathering again. As you said, Clara, you know, I have two older children and I love being with them. I love being with children. And it was a very conscious choice that my wife and I called in a baby. And I am hugely grateful to her for wanting to bring a child in with me and for giving me the opportunity to have this experience. I feel like after the years that I've been around, I have a lot to share with this little boy. And I feel obviously being an older father doesn't go unnoticed, and people have their own opinions of that. But I feel like a very energetic older man, and I feel like I've had a lot of experiences that I'm eager to share with him. So, for example, in the mornings, we often have a couple of hours together, him and me, and I love to take him on a sound journey. And he absolutely loves it. He sees me reaching for the didgeridoo and a big smile comes to his face and he just lies there with his arms out and giggles and hums and sings, makes sounds, and, you know, we're on a journey together. It's beautiful. I love it, actually. And I hope that I can be an example to him and listen to him. He's definitely a teacher for me, and seems like a very old soul. And I love the way that he watches and looks and takes his time to process what he's experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've just answered a question. I was going to say, do you play him some of your sound instruments? And you're straight in there going, oh, yes. Did you... I mean, because he must have been around it when he was in your wife's womb, you know, being around all the sounds. So it's something he recognizes as being at home with the sounds.
I would imagine so. Yeah, he's familiar with the sounds for sure. And I love to play with his body and to actually bring rhythm in. So my idea is that by holding his ankles and just gently boom, 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 chick, boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick, bringing it into his body so that he has this rhythm in his body, you know. And then I'll introduce another sound, and sometimes I reach for one of his rattles out of his toy box or something, and we play with that, you know. And bringing it all into a very sort of physical bodily experience for him, you know. Yeah, I use my voice, and gradually he's discovering his voice and his breath even, which is nice. Recently he's been going, and really I can see how much he's enjoying exploring making sounds, you know.
Yes, it's very cool.
I'm definitely sort of unashamedly in indoctrinating him really into sound.
I was going to say encouraging, but you know, but he is your son, and so there's a mantle here that is being offered from you to him.
Well, there is. I mean, he's my second son, and my older son, who is 18 years older than Oaken, also has that mantle in a sense, you know. So the two of them love each other, and that's beautiful to experience. And where it's going. I don't know. Where does it go?
We don't need to know. We don't need to know. I mean, it is an extraordinary time to be alive right now. And I think that to have the skills that you have to offer people a solace within the sound is a tremendous gift for us to receive. And I remember one of the points that you made in one of our first interviews, when we were talking about hearing the sounds, and you said, no, your whole body is absorbing the sounds. I'm like, oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really, very much, and sound is sound, we get a bit hung up on what's making the sound, but if we are able to sort of immerse ourselves in the sound without thinking about what's making it, then it's a very different experience. It's possible to journey to the sounds of anything. And when we find ourselves engaging with what's making it, it can create a bit of a tension in us that we might not want that, because it's been made by something that we don't want to be thinking about. I can hear now, for example, in the background, there's a truck or a motor of side machine that's got a beeping sound every time it does something. Mm-hmm. But if I separate from what's actually doing that and I think about that beeping sound in the landscape, it's like it's no more or less possible to journey with that than anything else, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this key point that you mentioned of surrendering, that is a very yin quality, to encourage the surrender.
Yeah.
And that's something I think you do very magically, but also very practically. And the way that you speak to your audience and how you will lure us in with your stories and so that we build trust with you,
It's important to me. I put a lot of energy into creating a safe space and building trust. And being a father, that is a very big part of it. I want people to feel safe.
Yes.
So within that, I don't shy away from the firm, very strong, more masculine quality of sound and delivery. My sound journeys are not all about soft, gentle relaxation. They are quite confrontative at times, with strong rhythms, quite fast rhythms, and a dynamic sort of more masculine side to it. I feel it's so important to have that, The mother needs to be held as well. She needs to be nurtured. And of course, we can see the issues going on the planet at the moment when we're shirking our responsibilities in a way to do that, I feel a great respect for women holding what you do hold, and especially mothering children in this time. Yeah, I hope that as a man and as a father, I'm able to actually take responsibility for my part in nurturing the mothers.
Yeah. This is another really good point. I'm so glad that you're here on Mother Speaks, because we often talk about the self-mothering and the being held by the mother, but you're bringing up actually the woman. The mother also needs to be held by her man, or equivalent of, where does the mother kick back? Where can the mother be held?
I don't know why. It's making me cry, actually.
Yeah, it's very emotional, this one.
Oh, really, super, I'm passionate about being in my power in order to be able to support Natalie and others,
Yes.
So my work is about enabling others to find their truth, to be accepting of whatever that looks like, absolutely whatever it looks like. In a sound journey, there are a few rules, really. People come expecting to lie down, but why not sit up or stand up and do qigong, or, I know someone that does that. what we need is to be accepting of ourselves, and it takes the shape of who we are as an individual. The way that we choose to parent is going to be our unique version of it that will be perfect.
Mm.
Perfect.
Mm. So I'm curious now about the yin side of the masculine. So this powerful yin that you hold, as well as the powerful yang. You know, Seeker's got quite strong arm muscles. He's getting his didgeridoo and he's running. Well, not running, but you know, you're striding around the audience, and you've got this big, heavy sort of tree trunk there. And you know, there's a real power to you. But I know. But there's also this. I can feel it. It's the strength of the male yin. It's something that's different from the female yin, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Man, we could talk about that for a long time. I would say that when I was younger, I was quite more leaning towards my feminine side. And I was very gentle, very soft-spoken. And that has been a big part of my personal journey to embrace my man, the masculine energy, but without losing the all the positives and all that beautiful quality that I had, that I felt like I was born with, really. So yeah, it's taken me to a place where I'm willing to speak my truth gently and firmly, you know. In fact, you know, I draw attention to this. This is Thor's hammer. I'm wearing this because in the last few years, what I have found through this incredibly masculine symbol, if you like, I have found the ability to be able to just go, I am who I am. And even though I might have upset you, my beloved wife or my child or whoever, I didn't mean to. I'm willing to accept that I might need to do things differently. I might not need to do things differently. And I honor myself and I hold true to who I am. I'm not going to let go of myself for trying to make things right. Yeah.
That is a very powerful message, honoring the truth that is you, male, female, whatever spectrum you are on the gender. It is that, not compromising your truth, but also being respectful. And as you say, I don't mean to upset you or trigger you. I mean, actually, you know, to be triggered is a helpful thing, but only if that's part of what you know about your journey. But to be a people pleaser doesn't really serve anybody. Mm. But to be a nurturer and a kind truth talker, truth sharer, I think that helps us evolve as individuals, but also as humanity, as we are stepping towards the new earth now and needing to hold one another's hands in truth, in our individual truths, which form the community of like honest connection.
Honest connection. And I feel incredibly blessed because Natalie does honor that in me, and we do go there. We go to any depths together and we talk about everything and anything. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I just think that we need to be that, especially with our beloveds. You know?
Yes, yes.
And it's not easy, is it? You know, life is not easy. It throws challenges all the time, and we're always making mistakes and doing things when we kind of look back and we think, oh God, you know, did I really say that or did I really do that? You know, I didn't mean to. I've learned from that. We have to be willing to be humble with it and, you know.
And sort of bring it home to the hearth and go, I got this sticky mess that I don't want to hide from. I don't want to be heard, witnessed and everything. And, you know, talking of us, that we're all children of the earth.
Yeah.
But, we're also children of the sun, which is leading us into the next track. From Seeker here with us on Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio and on YouTube. So this track, we were scrawny. I actually took quite a few of Seeker's songs out on a bit of a walk this morning around the Avalon lands and the beautiful sunshine. I just felt so blessed to be doing that. And I'm going, I don't know which one to choose. They've all got a really powerful message, all of them have. And then between us, we kind of looked into sort of having something to share with you here that shows the multi-instrumental and ism of it all, and then also linking in with the fact that we are all children. It just seemed to be a perfect choice. Have you got something that you'd like to say about this track, Seeker?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a good choice because it's predominantly played on flute. The influence of, well, the name really came influenced from a time that I had in North America and in Mexico. And I traveled down to be with the Aztecs, was invited down to stay with an Aztec grandmother called Shalonum, and played at the spring equinox, interestingly, on Teotihuacan, which is the Great Sun Pyramid, along with 100,000 other people celebrating the rising sun. And I played didgeridoo there with the Aztec people. And so on this piece, you'll hear the North American flute and or Native American flute from North America, and also the clay pots, which are, in this case, from the Aztec people. And they're like two big breasts that are joined together with a little connecting part of clay. So these are, you know, Natalie and I are always joking about this instrument because it just is such an embodiment of woman, you know, of mother.
Station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So you're back on Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with me, Clara Apollo, and my guest, Sika. And before the break, you heard that beautiful flute track and the other instruments going on in the background called Children of the Sun from Sika's album Sound Journey 2. Now, sound journeys are a big part of my life. And Sika, I mean, you introduced them to me. And through the live experience, and I'm like, well, what do I do when you're not here? He goes, yeah, have some CDs. I go, stream it all. And I do remember taking that Sound Journey 2 over to a Qigong retreat in France that I was running and just playing it in this great big old converted barn because the acoustics were so great. And the you know, really felt connected to that original source of when I first met you and all that. But having the recordings And I know all the lockdown stuff, and also you've needed to take things more online, haven't you? How has that been? How's that worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting experience, really. Like many of us, you know, having to stay put and try and find a way to make ends meet forced me to do Sound Journeys online. And at first they were live, and then when I moved to a new house, the internet wasn't quite fast enough to do it live. So I was either forced to not do it, which I didn't want to do, or to do what I did do, which is record each one. So now I have basically done a sound journey online almost every full moon for the last couple of years, and often as well every new moon. And I've built up what I think of as an archive, really. I'm gradually releasing those, making them available for people to download from my Bandcamp site. And each one has a dedicated theme. So there might be one for birthing, for example, or there might be one for grieving or for celebration or for the new moon, the equinox, the solstice, and so it will go on. Each one is completely unique. And it's about 35 minutes. So the tour that I'm doing now.
Yes, because you're over in the UK at time of recording this. And
yeah,
you've got some live in-person gigs happening. So name of the tour that you're giving?
The tour is called the Singing Stones Tour. And the reason for that is because the guided visualization takes us to the Valley of the Singing Stones, which is an imaginative place, and in that place we're able to hear the sound of the stones. And for me, that completely speaks of opening ourselves enough to be able to really hear the sound of the Earth Mother, to go that deep into our relationship that we are hearing that voice, if you like.
Yeah, and Sika's been known to play at Stonehenge amongst the big ancient stones there and the reverberation that they contain. So, you know, and the stones that grow in the mother and on the mother and hold so much information to tune in with.
Each one having a voice, each one having a story. And like we listen to things that have a voice, like that is more obvious, and then we can go to slow down our time, our sense of time. Like this, the voice and the song of stone is perhaps millions of years old, and are we able to just slow down enough within ourselves to dissolve and to enter into that magical realm?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Just the idea of slowing down is something that makes us kind of go, oh, I so need that. I so need to just have less to do just for a short while, please, you know.
It's so nurturing to step away from the busy, the hurry, the distraction, the have-tos, the should-dos, the to-do. It's like giving yourself permission. And when you've got sound as an anchor, sound as an inviter, there's something else. It's like a bridging act between the busy beta, gotta get on with it, into the more chilled out alpha theta. feels yeah. like it's an important bridging space with the sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
everything that we're saying, I could spring off and talk about forever. I mean, we're talking about things that I am passionate about and I love. I'm dedicated my whole life to this and will continue to till I die, I'm sure, you know. And I think it's such an intrinsically woven into part of our life, you know. We are sound, you know.
Yeah, in the beginning was sound.
Yeah.
So with these guided visualizations, I mean, this is though you have got that cave of visions is the one that is one of my go-tos as a reset. I go in there and it's different every time. And it's a place that I go into, that cave is into the mother, you know, and there's a couple of bears in there and a couple of bear cubs and everything. And then I go down to a deeper level and there's like a chalice well, and I go down there sometimes or sometimes, you know, it's just full of potential and I don't know what I'm going to expect, but because you guide us into the zone and then you let the sounds take over, it personalizes your experience.
Mm.
So it's a fantastic combination of both, really. So that, yeah, that liminal space, I think if you, is anything that you could just speak into here to give people a chance to drop into that even more, maybe?
I would say the most effective advice that I have is to truly accept and be grateful for whatever you're experiencing at each moment of the journey. So if you are having a lot of thoughts and your mind is busy and racing from the day, be grateful for that. Go into those thoughts and bring them on. And that will be much more effective at calming them than trying to stop them. And that metaphor works in general, not just for thoughts, but fear, for example.
Yeah.
If we try to shut out fear, we try to shut out anything that we don't want, it's not going to happen. You know, back in the teepee, I tried to shut the rain out for the first couple of years and it drove me mad. I ended up really hating the rain. And then one day in a dream it was like, no, you've got to let the rain in. Do a ceremony, open the teepee up when it's raining, let your home get wet and sit there and appreciate the rain for what it is. And so I did this ceremony and the front two-thirds of my home got drenched and I sat there by the fire and let it all in. And then I got it. It was like, oh, my God, you know, I'm trying to shut everything out. Like I was living in the teepee as if I was living in a house, which is designed to shut nature out. And so I just changed my mind and changed my attitude to living like that. And suddenly I wasn't in this kind of dualistic suffering place within myself, and I didn't struggle with the element of water, you know, just emotions, you know.
Acceptance. But I love that you also had a fire. You had the antidote, or you had the opposite, the yin yang opposite to the water. You could watch the water and be with it, but you also had the fire to support. And I think that if you are going through difficulties, yes, to face them, but also know where your support is so that you're able to face them. Because sometimes it can be like so overwhelming. And I think also that's where sound comes in as a balm, that it is so, you can just soften into sound and let it hold you in whatever funk is going on. So yeah, brilliant.
So true. And you know, the fire being spirit perhaps, you know, so yeah, connect with spirit. But by the way to connect with spirit is by being grateful for what is,
yeah,
what actually is right now. And it might not be what you want it to be, but it is. So it's what's meant to be, because that's the experience you need to have right now.
Seeker, thank you so much for being here on Mother Speak. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you,
absolute
everybody.
Joy. And how can people find out more about you? Where can they go?
Well, I have a website, which is seekermusic.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook at Spirit Seeker. Spirit and then S-I-K-A.
Brilliant.
Find me. Please write to me. Contact me. I love it.
Oh, we love you too. And if you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, please do tell your friends. And if you'd like to listen again, you can so on demand on ukhealthradio.com and on our podcast stream on all the major platforms. Here at Mother Speaks, we also have a Spotify playlist, handily called Mother Speaks, so you can find it, containing tracks from the show so far. So we'll pop these Seeker ones on for you too, because sometimes definitely on the podcast, we don't get to share the music with you. And I can feel that you're wanting to tune in with this, so we'll definitely do that for you there. And Mother Speaks is also part of our Wake Up Mother community, and you can find out more about that on wakeupmother.com with our interactive portal at wakeupmother.substack.com, where you can catch up with the latest Wake Up Mother news, including listening to us on Mother Speaks Unplugged, where we do have some juicy outtakes for you there and sometimes some explicit raw content. So we're on Instagram at wakeupmother_community, and we'd love to hear from you to keep these conversations growing and glowing. So thanks again to Dear Seeker for being part of Mother Speaks. And next week, Sarah Lloyd will be back with Kate Taylor on encouraging more practical magic in your life. And up next on UK Health Radio's rolling streams of healthy shows, it's the Menopause Sisters. So remember, you have a vast, untapped, fertile field of mother energy within you, regardless of what or who or how you choose to mother. It's just waiting to be honored by you, for you, and for the rich families, books, music, and projects that you are creating. Thank you so much for listening.